This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show, or podcast number 176 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording shares the candidate forum conducted in the council chambers on Thursday, October 17, 2019. Town Clerk Teresa Burr opens the forum, moderator Larry Benedetto outlines the process, and introduces the panelists who will ask the questions for the town council candidates in the first segment, and then the school committee candidates in the second segment. I did edit the recording to remove the break, so the two segments run back-to-back with a brief musical interlude. The town council segment runs approximately 33 minutes, the school committee segment runs just less than that, and the whole forum is just about an hour long.
Well, you take a point.
Good evening, everyone.
We're live. It's free.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Teresa Burr, and I am your town clerk. I'm here today with my assistant, Nancy DiNello, and we'd like to welcome you all to Candidates Night. This evening is being televised by Franklin TV and will be broadcast right up through until Election Day, which is November 5th. And it's on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon on Channel 29. This year is our biannual town election, and it's at the high school from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it's all precincts at one location. If you're unable to go to the polls, we do have absentee ballots in the office, and you can vote in my office during regular business hours, right up until noontime on Monday, the day before the election, November 4th. If you cannot, you can always get the information on our clerk's website. You can request an absentee ballot, and we'll be more than happy to mail you a ballot. You can request an absentee ballot request form, and we'll mail you a ballot. If you have any questions at all, please contact my office. Anyone of a great staff, any one of them will be more than happy to answer any of your questions. I'd like to now to introduce our moderator for the evening. It's Mr. Larry Benedetto. Mr. Benedetto is a lifelong resident of Franklin, and he has served 21 years as Franklin's police chief and 32 years on the police force. Please give a round of welcome to him.
Showtime, boys and girls. Thank you, Teresa. Instructions from the clan here. Any cell phones, please turn them off if that's necessary. Welcome all of the candidates to the never-ending candidates night and debates and so on. Allow me to introduce tonight's panel. Mr. Jack Lank, President of the United Chamber of Commerce. Jack. Mr. Robert Fico, former town attorney and former state representative. Mr. Robert Valley, former town councilor for 32 years, 8 years of which he was the chair. Maureen Sevalinski, former superintendent of schools, 32 years in public education. Paula Mullen, former school committee chair for 10 years, co-chair for 6 years. And Daniel O'Brien, deputy director of multimedia for the Milford Daily newspaper.
How are we doing, girls?
Great. Good job.
Nice.
The format tonight is a little different from what we've done in past years. Each candidate will be asked one question. You don't have 2 minutes to answer. There will be no rebuttals. There will be no closing statements this year. And there will be no questions from the audience. We try to run this as loosely as we can and informally as we can, so please pay attention to the timekeepers. If things go bad, they're mean.
We are not mean.
Are we good to go?
We're good to go.
He remembers from 2 years ago.
So the first question tonight will be Jack Lank, the candidate Robert DeLocca. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. We're not good to go.
How long have you been with?
Too long.
Okay,
opening statements, and I think what we'll do is we'll start with Mr. Chandler and go down. How's that?
Sounds good.
Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Brian Chandler. I'm running for the town council.
I am married to my wife, Kate. I have two daughters, Laura and Sarah. I have one son, Sam, who's an Army veteran. I retired from the Franklin Police Department, where I spent my whole career serving the residents. And I ask you for your vote on October 5th so I can continue to serve the next 2 years.
November 5th.
Did I say October? November, thank you. I said October. I mean November 5th, yes.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Chief Searles, please.
Okay. Just this here real quickly. Hello, everyone. My name is Eamon McCarthy Earls. I first ran for town council back in 2017 and was very lucky to be selected by the voters that year. My mission then and my mission now is transparency and getting more people involved in local decision making. That continues to be my mission going forward, but in a second term, if I'm granted that opportunity by the citizens, I'd like to continue to focus on some of the challenges we have in town, such as navigating issues with our local budget that may emerge in 2020 or 2021. Some of the challenges with our water supply system, ensuring that our wells are secure for the future, as well as some of the issues related to traffic as our community has grown over time. We face increased congestion on our roads, to name a few of the areas that I'd like to focus on over the next 2 years. Thank you.
1 minute, Deb. Brian, could you move your nameplate down a little bit like that for the cameraman?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Deborah Pellegrini, please.
Most of you already know me. Good evening. My name is Debbie Pellegrini, and I've been your town clerk over the last 31 years. Making my decision to retire was a difficult one, but the time had come for me to retire after a wonderful 10-year as a clerk. I enjoy being involved with the town and decided to continue in some way to serve my community. After careful consideration, I decided not to leave politics completely. I decided to run for town council position. I felt that with my background in government, the committees that I had served and have served on, my involvement with the town bylaws, the town charter commission, being the town ethics liaison, election administrator, and I could go on. Because of this involvement, I felt that I would be able to represent the citizens of Franklin as their town councilor. I thank you for your trust in electing me to the town council for the past 4 years. I feel I have served you well and have proven to be hardworking, honest, and professional. And I just got to shut up.
Sorry, Deb.
Last minute stuff you want to get up on? Glenn Jones, please.
Thank you, Larry. Good to see everybody again tonight. My name is Glenn Jones. I've been on the town council. I first ran for town council in 2009. I have 5 children, 2 in college, 1 high school, 2 at Davis there, one of my favorite elementary schools in the town. And my wife and I have raised our family proudly in the town of Franklin. And when I ran for town council back in 2009, I came in with the ideals of a person with a very unbiased approach, really totally focused on nothing better than improving this community. And since then, I've done some of the capacities serving as a communication liaison for the council, serving as the former economic development chairperson for the town council, as well as currently serving as the clerk for the Franklin Town Council. I do participate in other programs and other organizations, such as the Franklin Education Foundation. I'm on the board of directors for that. I'm also an ensign in the Naval ROTC program, which is a program for teenagers to help support them with their military bearing as well as leadership skills. My ultimate wish and goal is to be given the opportunity to continue my work in helping this community remain one of the best places to raise it.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Mercer, please.
Good evening. My name is Tom Mercer, and I'm the Senior Vice President of Sales for Fuller Box Company for the past 39 years. I'm a lifelong Franklin resident, and I have successfully served you, the residents, as a counselor for the last 8 years, and the last year as chairman, formerly as a school committee member for 10 years, 8 of which I served as chairman. I was chairman of the building committees for 3 of our largest, newest town structures, the Horace Mann Oak Street School Complex, the Senior Center, and most recently, the new state-of-the-art high school. Having previously served in local government, I'm aware of the personal demands and political pressures, but I continue to look forward to those challenges. Franklin deserves leadership dedicated to open government, safe schools, and a healthy local economy. I have built a solid reputation as a leader, facilitating cooperative and constructive discussions that have led to success. I'm proud of my track record, and I ask for your vote on November 5th. And I got gaveled, too.
Thank you, Tom. Mr. Kelly, please.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Matt Kelly, and I have had the honor of serving the citizens of Franklin for the past 10 years. I'd like to begin by thanking the panelists and the moderator for their time, as well as the residents of Franklin who are watching here tonight, for the opportunity to share my thoughts and vision of Franklin with you this evening. Tonight, I hope to share my continued plans regarding what I feel our town council should always focus on. Your Franklin town council should have five main priorities: public safety, infrastructure, the delivery of necessary services, promoting an environment that attracts and retains businesses, and an advocate for our citizens in their time of need. As a member of the town council, I have served on vital committees, including the Capital Committee, the Economic Development Committee, the Master Plan Committee. During my time, I've also been able to increase our town's open space, add necessary funding to our road repairs each year, and continue to balance a budget without asking the citizens to reach deeper into their pockets for more money. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have been awarded to give back to our town and its citizens. And on November 5th, I ask you for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Mr. DeLocco, please.
Thank you, moderator. My name is Robert DeLocco. My family has resided in Franklin over the past 100 years. I've served on as your town councilor for the last 8 years. And the last two terms, I've been chairman of the capital program. I am married to my wife, Gigi, for the last 28 years, having three children, Laura, Robert, and Emily, all graduated from Franklin Public Schools and moved on to college and did a great job. Thank you for that. I've also served on the recreational committee for the last 10 years, doing many projects like the Delcott project, many playgrounds, and most recently, the King Street project. I also sit on the board of directors for the SAFE Coalition, and I was a co-founder of the SAFE Coalition for the fight against drugs. I was also a past high school football coach, and actually coached Brian's son, Sam. I'm also a past CYO basketball coach, and I was the vice president of the St. Anthony Society. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeLocco. Ms. Hamlin, please.
Yes, thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Melanie Hamlin. I own the Franklin Agway for the past 3.5 years, and I've been inspired to run for my second term on the town council by citizens of the town who come up to me and said to me, "We need you there." During my first term, I successfully collaborated with my colleagues, town staff, through the Economic Development Committee to encourage innovative startup businesses in Franklin by adjusting our bylaws and creating a new commercial use zone. I've worked with the DPW and the Agricultural Commission to create the first ever town program that allows you to opt out of chemical weed control spraying, as well as created pollinator pastures as an awareness program to help save the bees and butterflies. If I'm elected, I plan on continuing this important work with the AdCom, and my goal is to be on the budget subcommittee to continue the work and the relationships that Council Pendula started. And I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ellen. Mr. Bizanti, please.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The reason I chose to run again is I see the next 2 years as a time where experience and leadership will be mostly required. I have the experience of 3 consecutive terms as a former counselor. I served on the EDC as chairman. I also worked on the Open Space Committee. My time on the council was very fruitful. We actually got many accolades from Jeff Knight. I have experience working with many of my colleagues here on this council, and I look forward to doing it again. Bottom line is something I learned by being on this council is to think of the greater good of Franklin, and that's what I'll be here to do. And I just have a love for this town, and that's why I'm running for council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bizanti. Mr. Whitmore, please.
Hi, my name is Mickey Whitmore, and I've been a resident of Franklin since 2002. And I love this town, and I just want to help out and serve this community. I have 3 kids in the Franklin school system, two at two at JFK and one at Horace Mann. And I work as a consultant during the day, consulting school systems and DOD customers, and I feel like I could help apply that experience or help us make informed decisions on what's best for the community as a whole. And I serve on the ZBA, where we help serve the community. I think we do a lot of good there. And I just ask for your vote on November 5th. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitmore. Mr. Lidger?
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and hello to all the people watching at home. Thank you to everyone that put on this great event here tonight. My name is Ted Cormier Ledger, and I'm proud to run for your town council. I am married with two children, hi Charlie and Jaden, who attend Kennedy School. We moved here just about 2 years ago, and we're proud to call Franklin home. I'm a lifelong Massachusetts resident, born and raised in Medford. I'm an Eagle Scout, a visual artist, and for more than 20 years, I worked in the nonprofit sector in management and fundraising. I'm also a realtor, serving clients all over Metro West and Greater Boston. Over the course of my career, I've managed multi-million dollar facilities and camps, raised millions of dollars in donations, and worked with volunteers from all walks of life to get the job done. I plan to use those skills to help Franklin if I'm elected to your town council. My priorities are keep our education system strong, make sure that our public safety, police, and fire personnel have all the resources that they need to keep us safe, and find a solution to our water delivery problem. I also feel I am a strong voice for diversity and inclusion, and will work to ensure Franklin is a welcoming place for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, closing argument.
Nice try, Larry. First
question will be Jack Black, Mr. Robert DeLocco, please.
Mr. DeLocco, it's a two-part question. What role does the Finance Committee play in town government, and how is their recommendations a consideration?
Well, obviously, us as council, as well, we all really look towards the Finance Company. There's a lot of good people on that committee that can help us with all the budget issues that we have. And we're really going to be looking into them for a lot of issues, and they're great. We take their recommendations very seriously, because they do a lot of hard work. They probably do more work towards the budget than we do. I mean, to the money. That's what they do. We have to deal with all the other public safeties and everything else like that. So we certainly take their recommendations very, very seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bryan for Matthew Kelly, please.
Mr. Kelly, assuming Franklin's expenses continue to outpace its revenue sources in the next 2 years, would you support a Proposition 2.5 override? Or alternatively, what suggestions would you have to cut expenses?
Excellent question, Mr. O'Brien, and I'm glad I got it. Currently, I would not support a Proposition 2.5 override. I don't feel, as somebody who has spent the last 2 years on our budget subcommittee, as well as somebody who served as a school committee member for 2 years, as well as a town councilor for 8 years, that we are at a point right now where we can come to our citizens and ask them to dip deeper into their pockets and spend more money. I would always, if a group of citizens came forward and asked us to put an override on the ballot, support the fact that we could put an override on the ballot. However, as a counselor, I feel like that is my duty to step forward and let our citizens in Franklin decide whether or not they would like an override. That being said, I personally, knowing our budget and our finances at the current time, don't feel that we're in a position to reach out to the town and ask our citizens for an override. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fico for Mr. Ledger, please.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Theodore, another two-part question. What do you feel is the most pressing problem that you would address immediately? And then give some specific examples as to what the town council could do to solve or address that problem.
I think the most pressing issue right now from not just living here for 2 years, but from talking to an awful lot of residents, is our water issue. I think we need to put the right people in place to address that problem, to put the right infrastructure in place, whether it's a delivery issue. It's not a water issue, because we have plenty of water. It's getting it to people in a clean and safe way, and an expedient way. And I think I would make sure, as a town councilor, that we had the experts. If we have to bring them in, if we have to bring consultants in, if we have to work with colleagues from other towns that have dealt with similar issues, if we have to reach out to our friends at the MWRA and ask for some opinions, there are plenty of people in Massachusetts that know how to deliver clean water that's not going to hurt anybody and that's going to be able to keep everybody happy. If we have to find more money, then that's another issue that we can tackle down the road. But the first thing I would want to do is look at what can be done now.
Thank you. Maureen Zavalinsky for Brian Chandler, please.
Hello, Mr. Chandler. Thank you. How would you see your relationship as a member of the town council with the role of the town administrator?
Obviously, we all have to work closely with him, but he does need to also know that he has to follow what we're asking. As I heard before, it just takes 5 out of 4 to vote no confidence, and he could actually be removed. So I would just work every day as hard as I can with him, and from what I've heard, it sounds like his door is always open. So I don't think that will be a problem. You're welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Valley for Mr. McCarthy Earls, please.
Edmund's a three-part question, but they're all related. What do you see the future of Franklin regarding commercial and industrial growth versus residential growth? Do you support rezoning to increase the balance between residential and commercial and industrial? And what do you think is an ideal balance?
Thank you very much for that question. Good question, Bob. It's actually very familiar from last time. I had a similar question on zoning back in 2017. When it comes to commercial development and commercial zoning in Franklin, I think it's very important that we have a strong tax base to continue to ensure an affordable cost of living for our residents. Currently, we have pretty good occupancy at many of our industrial parks, but with changes such as the acquisition of EMC by Dell, we could work to expand the South Franklin Industrial Park, get some new customers in there, as well as areas along, in fact, right outside of us right now, along East Central Street. There's still some gaps there, like the old Keegan Chevrolet, as well as some brownfields, polluted sites that are now being cleaned up, such as behind the rail lines, near Franklin Paint, the old plastics factory there, or the former metal coating factory along Grove Street. All of those could be worked with by the town to increase our tax base and encourage more commercial development. I think our current blend of commercial, industrial, and residential is a very good one, and I'd like to see just continued utilization of the existing zones we have, but always be open to folks from our planning department, particularly our excellent town planner, Brian Tabiter, bringing forth new ideas to us in terms of different, more flexible forms of commercial industrial zoning, such as the Mixed Business Innovation District that we passed collectively as a council just over about a year ago, which rezones the area around the old Clark Cutler Durham plant to hopefully allow more uses there.
Would you have a number between the residential and commercial?
I wouldn't say any particular number. I think something very similar to our current mix, but with an open mind to new innovative districts like Mixed Business Innovation, where we may be able to fit those and allow more forms of use.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Mullen from Melanie Hamlin, please. Wake up, Melanie. Wake up.
If government is a customer service endeavor, what is your opinion of the present delivery of services? And what, if anything, do you believe needs to be improved or can be improved?
Okay, so I believe we're talking about at the town hall or all services combined.
All services.
I think we have a top-notch staff here in the town hall and at the fire department and at the police department and the water department. All of the town services are run by people that work really hard. And the only thing that I think might be, that we could improve upon, might be ways that we can electronically sign up for maybe an inspection with a schedule. Some people have come to me to say it's hard sometimes to set up that schedule when I need an inspection. I know we just went online for permitting, which has helped a lot of people. And I think this administration is constantly changing and developing and making things easier for people to connect with us and to get things done, which is what it is. We're a business, right? So we need to get things done. Thank you.
Thank you. Jack Langford, Tom Mercer, please.
Tom, you've been on the council many years. What expertise do you bring to Franklin's $100+ million budget process? And what role does the council play? Policy or regulations?
Well, certainly policy. It's the town council's job to set the policy. And then it's up to the town administrator, right in our charter, to administer the policies that we set forth. We have many challenges, and as far as what expertise I bring to the council, I think forethought, looking out at the future, some of the challenges that we'll be facing in the future. Obviously, the budget deficit is a major challenge in these tough economic times. Managing the pros and cons to growth and development expectations will continue to be a challenge, and they'll require major zoning changes. We must also stay above the 10% and the 40B situation. We have just made that goal a year ago. As long as we can maintain that, we have much more control of what's going on. Open space. Another, we need to invest in open space and recreation. As it's the last lands that are available, we need to preserve. Right. And public demand is high. The open space and heritage and control, the fast growth in the community. These are things that I look forward to as challenges for the council moving forward.
Thank you, Tom. Mr. O'Brien from Ms. Pellegrini, please.
Ms. Pellegrini, many Franklin residents can recall when the town's train stations were well-maintained and functional. Are you aware of the T's many problems? And should the town seek more influence and input into the appearance and cleanliness of the stations?
Absolutely. I'm not only aware of it, I know that we have been working with the city.
Yeah, kind of. They stumble. Minute and a half.
At the train station. Jeff Roy has been an advocate of ours, and we really need to help out. I know that people have said to me, many times it's closed, that they can't even get in there while they're waiting for their train, and they may have to use a restroom or that. And that's unacceptable. Someone should be there at all times so that they can buy their tickets and they can use the restrooms and do whatever. So I would continue to work with Representative Roy in hopes that we will be able to get them to do some extra work and plus paving that way too. Thank you.
Mr. Fico, by Andrew Bazanti, please.
Yes, Mr. Bazanti, the State Community Preservation Act adds a small surcharge to taxes to pay for such items as open space, historical rehabilitation, and affordable housing. Would you support adoption of the Community Preservation Act in Franklin?
Absolutely.
If so, why?
I actually, when I was a counselor, I had actually attended, I went to a meeting at the in Uxbridge, and I brought back the information to Brian Tabender, and I was asking him, Brian, why don't we look into this? They have all kinds of funds, even for fixing up properties and looking into exactly what you just talked about. And he said that he had heard about it and that we would start to look into it. I don't know where it went to from there, but those are excellent programs to look into and to obtain open space and preserve properties and go after properties that we can fix up and make into, you know, viable repurposed properties
the church on South Franklin, stuff like that. Those are excellent vehicles to go after and make better properties and exciting projects for Franklin. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Marvin Zabalinski for Glenn Jones, please.
Mr. Jones,
Emery,
would you support rezoning efforts that sought to attract more revenue producing business development as opposed to single family residential development, which as you know tends to cost more in town services than the taxpayers pay in for the services? Where would you stand on that?
Maureen, that's an excellent question. And I think I understand why I was last for this question, because I get a lot of jokes about that. I love to ramble on about things. So this is perfect timing, Larry. Thank you. In all honesty, when it comes down to our commercial, industrial, and residential bases, one of the biggest questions people always tend to ask me is like, why don't we have a split tax rate? Why don't we put more burden, and that's what I call it, on our commercial industrial base? And as many people may not be familiar with, we have spent numerous council iterations, long before I was on the council, well, long during Bob's time, setting up specific zoning so that a lot of our major commercial and industrial properties are located generally within exit 17 and exit 16 to promote the access for those businesses, which in the time that I've served on this board, and as well as Mr. Valley served on this board, we have attracted some of the best high-end organizations to come to this community and contribute to our tax base. In fact, many people might not even realize that the largest tax contributor to this community is Franklin Village Plaza and all the businesses that are in that town. When it comes to the rezoning, I do not currently support changing the zoning. In fact, what I do support is trying to make our current zoning more attractive in ways of like TIFs. For instance, we have Hamilton Technologies, which was a large high-tech business which worked in cryogenics, that originally had their businesses both in Milford as well as in Hockington, to consolidate and come to one of our industrial park locations and under a TIF program, which in lieu of their moving someplace else came here, they contribute to our tax base. One of the things I will not ask is a split tax rate. Why? Because businesses tend to be able to just get up and leave the lot sooner than we can. By putting the burden on the businesses, we might scare them away and take away that 20% of our current budget that is made up of our commercial industries.
So. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Last question, Robert Valley and Mr. Whitmore, please.
Vicki, how can the town best improve its financial situation?
I think, just what we should do is weigh all of our income and expenses, use our finance committee, look really hard at everything and make the best decisions that we can make. And, some of them might be difficult, but I think it's really important to just, be conservative fiscally for the long term.
Thank you. So that's it, boys and girls. Thank you all for participating. Thank you all for running. Good luck on November 5th.
Thank you.
Run out the doors. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Short break, and then we'll get to the school committee.
Yes.
Time too, boys and girls. Good evening and welcome. My name is Larry Benedetto. I'm going to explain the rules of property tonight. You're going to get a 1 minute introduction. There will be no closing statements. You get 2 minutes to answer a question. Pay attention, please, to the timekeepers. And we are going to begin with a 1 minute introduction, each of you. And we will start with Ms. D'Angelo, please.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me here tonight. My name is Jen D'Angelo. I'm a lifelong Franklin resident, proud product of the Franklin Public Schools.
I'm running for Franklin School Committee to get involved and make a difference. I have a little bit of a background in finance. I also work in public education for 15 years. And I think that my impartial voice could lend to the thoughtful decision-making of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. McNeil, please.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dave McNeil. A little bit about myself. I grew up here in Franklin, graduated Franklin High, class of 2009, and went on to study at Birmingham State University. I now work at the State House as a research analyst on the Environment Committee. And every day at my job, I work to promote evidence-based public policies because I believe in the ability of informed public policies to do good in our community and our state. And I also spend a lot of time talking with different people, getting different viewpoints to make sure I have an informed understanding of the issues. And as a graduate of both Franklin High and Framingham State, I know how important public education has been in my life. And I am running for school committee because I want to take my skills I use every day at the State House, as well as my perspectives as a Franklin High graduate, to pay it forward to the next generation of Franklin students.
Thank you. Ms. Pfeffer, please.
Good evening. My name is Judy, I should say Judith Fawn Pfeffer, but generally it's Judy Pfeffer. A lifelong resident, product of the Franklin school system. I have a BS in education from Framingham State College and a Juris Doctorate from Suffolk Law School. I've been a prior member of the Finance Committee and have recently served 20 years in the Franklin Town Council. I'm a member of the Friends of Franklin Elders, Inc. and the Friends of the Franklin Library, Inc. and the chair of the most recent Franklin Library Addition and Renovation, and I'm a member of the Franklin Affordable Housing Trust. I have no children nor grandchildren currently in the school system. My experience has demonstrated that grandparents and seniors are also abundantly concerned in how our schools are working and how our town continues to adequately function the daily monetary decisions that need to be made. Reasons for a voter to support me. I know how to work between the council and the town departments. Experience and operational knowledge of knowing how the town council works. Knowledge, wisdom, and experience working within the scope of getting results. Experience in finding better ways to afford items and programs in a tight budget, and it is always a tight budget.
Thank you, Judith. Denise Spencer, please.
Good evening. Thank you for having candidates night, for all of you taking the time to be here. My name is Denise Spencer, and I'm running for a seat on Franklin School Committee. I grew up in Walpole. My family and I moved to Franklin in 2017, and I have a son in our public school system. My motivation for seeking this position is simple. We as a community need to invest in our schools. In addition to my professional background, which includes 12 years working in the financial industry, I am an active parent and member of this community. I want to be a part of the decisions that are made for our school system's future. Young families need a strong voice in the decision-making that will affect our town for generations to come. I want to apply my passion to advocate for all of Franklin's students, families, and educators. I would like the opportunity to serve and be a part of the continuous success of our school system. I ask for your vote on November 5th. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Ann Bergen, please.
Okay, let's start chiming in. All right, now I'm ready. Yes, my name is Ann Bergen. I am currently completing my second term on the school committee and served the last term as its chair, currently serving as its chair. I'm going to read this fast. Someone on social media is encouraging people not to vote for me, saying that I said that I don't care if I get reelected. I think I need to put things in context. Leaders elected in part to make some tough decisions at times. Those decisions have to be based on principled reasons, separating fact from emotion, guided by wisdom and experience. As school committee members, we can't make decisions dependent on which way the wind blows. We can't ask, are my views going to get me reelected? We see that attitude being played out too much at the national level. We have to ask, is this decision in the best interest of all kids? It is how in almost my 15 years of public school involvement, I have tried to make decisions to correct the record. I do wish to be reelected. I do want to work with what I believe is going to be an incredible school committee. And let's see, I just lost my place here. And also to continue working cooperatively with the town administrator, members of the FinCom and town council, as we are one Franklin, all in this together. And I would greatly appreciate your vote on November 5th. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Schofield, please.
Thank you. For the past 4 years, I've had the privilege to serve on the school committee and be the chair of the policy subcommittee, as well as a member of the public schools advocacy and start time committees. Accomplishments over the past 2 years include hiring Superintendent Ahern, refining a homework policy with the input of parents, and working on school start times. The budget continues to be a major focus for the entire town. The next 2 years and beyond promise to be challenging and will require continued collaboration with the town council and FinCom. 30 seconds? I used a quote of Helen Keller's at the groundbreaking ceremony of our Keller Sullivan Complex, and it seems appropriate to use it again now. Alone we can do little, together we can do so much. I bring you a history of volunteering my time, many activities in town, including soccer, PCCs, scouts, CCs, and on the school committee. I look forward to the possibility of continuing to serve the town of Franklin and would be honored to have your vote.
Yeah. 4 seconds.
Ms.
Stokes, please.
Hi, thanks for having us. I'm Lily Stokes. I'm a grateful mom of two children at Davis Thayer, and I'm a very involved parent. As my kids' strongest advocate, their teacher's biggest cheerleader, and a vocal participant on the school council. For work, I'm a consultant to school districts. I collaborate with district administrators to assess and customize support to meet their needs. My work emphasizes social-emotional learning and prioritizes authentic connections between staff and students. I don't have a personal agenda. I will seek out community perspectives, visit classrooms, analyze data, and work together with the other school committee members so I can make informed decisions. I highly value team collaboration and creative problem solving. And most importantly, I'm always up for a challenge. If elected, I will focus on the DT study, and I will support the district's work toward the portrait of a graduate, including physical and mental health supports. Strong schools are an important investment, and I would be stoked to join the school.
Thank you. Mr. Keenan, please.
Thanks, everyone. My name's Tim Keenan. I am a father of two kids in the public school system. I've got a kid at a middle school and one in elementary school. Actually moved here about 13 years ago for the school systems. So my kids have only known Franklin, and I'm excited that this is the place where we kind of sat down for that. I have two jobs. So I do, in my corporate job, I'm a vice president for analytics at a big financial institution. And then I also run a kid-centric business in Franklin. I think both of those give me some good experiences that I could lean on. If you know me by my corporate job, I'm a highly analytical, data-driven, structured problem solver. If you know me by my kid-centric business, you'll know that I care deeply about kids and their families. I'm really running to help bring some of that structured problem solving to the committee. I think it's a skill that I'd love to bring as being part of the team. Also love to improve some of the collaboration between the community and the school committee. If I'm fortunate enough to be elected, I can assure you that I'm going to do my best in the position, and I will be committed for my efforts to be very kid and family centric. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Lucia, please.
Hi, my name is Joanna Lucier. I moved to Franklin in 2008, and we also chose Franklin due to the school system. I have two young kids in the Keller school system, so I have a vested interest in preserving and improving our current school system. My professional background is in financing and budgeting. I hope to leverage my professional background in helping the town and working with the key stakeholders, the town council, the subcommittees to come up with a long-term plan for Franklin. I understand that we only have a fixed set of money, so if we take more money for the school, it's coming from somewhere else. So we have to budget where we are using our resources and are we best using it, and just try to get as much for the kids.
Thank you. Mr. Carruthers can't be here tonight, so Mr. Lamp is going to read a statement, please. Jeff?
Good evening, members of the community, panelists, and fellow candidates. Thank you for volunteering your time and efforts to make tonight a reality. Due to a long scheduled family trip, I regret that I'm unable to join everyone this evening. I've lived in Franklin since 2012, when I separated from the U.S. Navy. My wife and I have two children in the Franklin schools. Our son Scott is a fifth grader, and our daughter Annabelle is a third grader, both at Kennedy. I'm involved with the Franklin VFW Post 3402, and serve as the quartermaster, treasurer, CFO of the post. And also at the district level, where I am current commander of Norfolk District 5, which consists of all the VFW posts in Norfolk County and the southern portion of Boston. I'm also involved with the Franklin Veteran Service Officer, Dale Kurtz, and the Franklin Veteran Council. In a few months, my time as Cub Master of Franklin Cub Scout Pack 126 will come to an end, and as my son crosses over from Cub Scout to Boy Scout, I currently work for a public accounting firm in Metro West, and I'm a licensed CPA where I specialize in tax planning and compliance for small family-owned businesses and individuals. My experience in the Navy taught me the importance of working together with people from different backgrounds.
Jack.
Oh, okay. Sorry, gang. I'm just reading from the script.
Sorry.
I told you they were tough.
Yeah.
You warned everybody. So you get 2 minutes to answer. And the first question tonight will be Marlon Zebulinski for Judith Von Pfeffer, please.
I have the elephant in the room question. should the Davis Thayer School remain open or be closed? Why?
The council was asked their questions. Mr. Kelly was asked the question, do you support an override? And I guess the two major questions tonight for the school committee are override, Davis Thayer School, what else is there? Start time. I get the I get the Davis Thayer question. Davis Thayer School, my understanding is structurally sound. The Davis Thayer School was built in 1924. I graduated from Davis Thayer as a high school, as did Mr. Benedetto. My mother graduated from Davis Thayer in the 20s. I don't think it was called Davis Thayer then. It's a school that has had work done to it, but it needs major work done to it to make it an adaptable school for handicapped children, that it is not ADA compliant. There's 3 floors there, and it needs to have an elevator. I would recommend that there was a study done in 1973, cost the school department $24,114. That study was never presented to the town council. No one on the town council saw it. The only one that saw it was Mr. Mercer, because he was just coming from the school department, going to the town council. That study has sort of fallen down somewhere and nobody's looking at it. Before we go outside to get another study done, I think we should open that study up and have a committee done by Franklin residents to see whether or not or what needs to be done for that school. I was told on my way in here tonight that the town council last night, the town administrator recommended $50,000 to be paid for a new study to be done. My opinion is that's a waste of money. We can do this in-house. We have used people available in-house that can do it. Use parents that have it, 1 or 2 students in the Davis Thayer, 2 teachers from the Davis Thayer. And I can't talk anymore because they shut me up.
No, you still have 30 seconds.
2 parents, 2 teachers, now a former, 1 member for the school committee, 1 member from the town council, facilities director, building inspector, fire chief. Let those people decide what's going to happen with the Davis Thayer and not spend $50,000 going outside. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith. Mr. Valley for Mary Jane Schofield, please.
Maureen, if the administration makes an education decision and numerous community members are not supportive of that decision, what will be your role as a school committee member in addressing those concerns?
Well, just recently, with the school start time, the advisory committee came forward with a recommendation to, further explore start times. They want them to implement. On that advisory committee, I was 1 of 2 who voted against the proposal that was sent to the school committee. Does that mean I'm against the start time changes? No, it does not. More work needed to be done. There was a not an uprising, but there was many community members came forward and offered really good suggestions of what we could do, in order to move the start time forward, so just not to drop it off. If something else comes up like that, invite people in at the start. People were invited in at the start of the school start times, but for some reason, nobody was there for over a year. And, you know, was it because we didn't publicize the times? I don't know, because all of the meetings were posted. They were all open meetings. Bring people in, get their ideas, because
30 seconds.
Oh,
keep
30
talking.
Seconds.
Keep talking.
Just to have people be involved, because the group that sits at this table, we're seven people, and we represent all of the residents of Franklin. It's not all about us. It's all about the residents.
Thank you, Mary Jane.
Thank you, Mr. Valley.
Thank you. Paula Mullen for Timothy Keenan, please.
Hi, Tim. I have a scenario for you. One of the district schools does not meet state expectations for student achievement and growth over a several year span. And as a result, parents are expressing concerns. As a school committee member, how would you react?
I'm talking about academic growth. So here's where I would, thank you for the question. So here's where I would lean on some structured problem solving techniques, I think. So there's a lot of different strategies out there and frameworks to use for structured problem solving. I think in an instance like this, in many instances that call for deep analysis to understand the problem, one of the first steps is to really get a clear-cut problem definition out there. So students are not meeting growth objectives in terms of academics. I think that's the start of a problem definition, but I think you really need to kind of double-click on that to understand better really what's underneath that, so you could really tackle it from an analytic standpoint to then subsequently understand solutions. If you don't have a really clear-cut problem definition, then ultimately the solutions that are offered up might not make sense. So as an example in this situation, is it constricted to a certain age group or grade level that we're not seeing performance improvements? Is it to what extent is that academic underachievement being portrayed? Is it across all subjects? Is it in a particular subject? So there's a lot of questions like that that I think, if answered, could lead their way into a problem statement. And then once that problem statement is clearly defined, then I think an analytic or research agenda can be put together to try to get to deeper insight that could then lead to some strategic brainstorming around solutions. But I would really propose a data-driven approach to really understand the problem and then move forward and try to get to solutions based on uncovering insight that is related to the clearly cut or clearly stated problem definition.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Jack Lankford, Jennifer D'Angelo, please.
Jennifer, what is a challenge facing the school district? And please offer us one proposed solution that does not have a cost associated with it.
Thank you for that question. Thought you were giving me the budget question. I think continuity for me. So hearing parents' concerns and teacher concerns around the district, I think one of the big things is we have 6 elementary, 3 middle, 1 high school, and there's not a lot of continuity that happens among those schools. So for me, I think that would be one of the big things that I would look at, the continuity around the elementary schools, moving into the middle schools, and then that transition into high school. I think that that's a big piece of it. I think that the communication piece is involved and getting community involvement, especially parents, to kind of facilitate that structure. And I think that that's one of the big things without a cost associated with it that I would like to see happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Dan O'Brien for Joanna Lucia, please.
Ms. Lucia, good evening.
Good evening.
What are your areas of concern regarding student achievement in the district, and what specific suggestions would you have for improvement?
Currently my kids are only in elementary school. I do not really hear as many issues from parents regarding the middle or high schools. So for my concerns for my kids would be the social intelligence, emotional learning, and just it plays a huge role in kids succeeding, even middle school and high school, just being able to prioritize your time management and being able to successfully balance everything, just teaching them life skills like balancing homework, work, sports,
and other commitments, and I think it's just helping teaching them that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fico for David McNeil, please.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Mr. McNeil, how does a school committee balance the need to provide a quality education with the need to respect the local taxpayer burden?
Yes, thank you for the question. I think recently the school committee, when it came to looking at the budget for FY 2020, I think they did an excellent job in terms of their approach to it, making sure it was balanced in terms of taking a look at where cuts could be made, but also trying to raise revenues in other places. I think it's important to have that balanced approach when dealing with something that sensitive as a budget, and I think if you just only try to impose cuts or only just try to raise revenues, then you're missing out on different parts of there. So I think part of fiscal responsibility is spending on what you absolutely need to spend on, and then making cuts where only you can afford to spend on. And I think taking the balance of that, getting input from the community, and seeing other ways to do that, while also making sure that the essentials of providing quality student education, social emotional learning, and other programs for the future are met.
Thank you. Maureen Sebelinski for Ann Bergen, please.
Hello, Dr. Bergen. Yours is a two-part question. Are there any changes that you believe should be made to the school department? And then the second part is, and how would you determine your budget priorities?
Let me get the first part first. I'm just looking
at any changes or what kind of innovations?
Changes. I think we just got the data from the Metro West survey the other night at the meeting, and we found that the levels of stress, particularly in high school kids, are rising astronomically. It's a huge concern to me. When I often interview high school students in particular, and talk to them, they say that they're feeling enormous pressure. They're feeling this pressure to be perfect, that they have to take 58 AP courses, that they have to be involved in 50 million extracurricular activities, and they all feel that they have to go to an Ivy League college. That's a huge concern to me when we're looking at sort of that there's only one pathway to success. So for me, what I want to do is look more closely at the whole issue around stress and talk more and focus more on pathways to success. That we have to really start looking at community colleges. The level of kids who start out in colleges now and who do not complete is astronomical. And the kids who are dealing with emotional issues on college campuses are rising again in huge numbers. There's a total mismatch with too many kids, and we need to look at different pathways, to define success in different ways. These community colleges, the programs that they offer, just interviewed a professor from Bristol Community College, 160 different programs that are offered there, gaming theory, forensics, all these ways to explore before they end up, you know, choosing a college and costing, you know, spending so much of their parents' money and then not completing it. And in terms of, and then Mo, the second part, I only have 30 seconds.
Determining budget priorities.
Relative to that or just in general?
Anything.
Well, just the way we've determined budget priorities is we look at our strategic plan and we look at the portrait of the graduate and we say, okay, we've said these are our four strategic objectives, social and emotional learning, personalized learning, and engaging and rigorous curriculum and two-way communication. Every decision we make has to be in line with that, with our objectives. We have to keep our eye on the prize, we have to keep focused, and so my time is up.
Mr. Valley for Denise Spencer, please.
Denise, what will you do as a member of the school committee regarding the vaping crisis?
That is a good question. Just the other night at the latest school committee meeting, they went over the numbers from the latest Metro West health survey, and the number of children claiming to be vaping, actively vaping, is rising at an alarming rate. And I think that in addition to giving parents the resources to deal with it at home, such as having nights like we're having this Monday with the social media night, maybe we could have a health night The schools need to look at professional development and how they can go about combating this in the schools with the students face-to-face.
Thank you.
Paula Mullen for Elise A. Stokes. Last but not least.
I know, right?
Same the best
there you
last.
Go.
Thank you.
Hi, Elise. What are your thoughts about students paying fees for sports, activity, busing, parking?
I definitely understand where that decision came from, saying that we don't want to, as the town councilors were saying, we don't want to dip into the taxpayers' pockets to get funding for school activities. So why don't we ask the people that are taking advantage of those activities to pay their own fees? It makes sense, right? The one concern I have about that issue is just equity. And, you know, what are all students able to afford those fees? And if there's, some reimbursement or some financial assistance that some students can access, are there other families that can't quite afford it, but can't quite, qualify for the financial assistance? And I just wonder sort of how that shakes out and who gets left in the dust and who has been able to take advantage of those opportunities that should be available.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thank you all for participating. Thank you.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? Overall, if you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.